Grace and peace to you from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text begins on the next day. This is the day after Jesus has been baptized. It's interesting to note that John the Apostle doesn't give us a description of the baptism itself. It is supposed the day after John saw Jesus coming to the river, and then John witnessed to what he had seen the day before. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The day after, this is verse 35, the day after that, Jesus then returns and John testifies again. Behold the Lamb of God. Now this time Andrew and John are here with John the Baptist. They get up and they follow Jesus. After a while, Jesus turns around, looks at them, and says, "What are you seeking?" That's a really good question, but it's also kind of a little odd. You might expect Jesus to say something like, "What are you looking for? Why are you following me? What is it that you want?" He says, "What are you seeking?" And apparently the disciples don't know, because the only thing they can give in response to Jesus' question is a response in return. I can just see Jesus turning around and asking them, "What are you seeking?" They both look at each other and go, "I don't know. What are you looking for?" Too bad they didn't bring Peter. That's the why he does all the talking. These other two, they just, John says something about the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We figured we'd follow you and see what happens. They ask him in response to Jesus' question, "What are you seeking?" They ask, "Where are you staying?" And Jesus invites them to come with him. And they talk throughout the afternoon. What are you seeking? What are you seeking? I mean, why are you here? What is your purpose here? What are you looking for? People are looking for all sorts of things all over the place. Everybody's looking for something. At least everybody that's healthy is looking for something. People throughout the world have been looking. Looking for this or looking for that. Some of them seek fame and fortune. Others seek money and security. Others are looking for peace and comfort. Some people are looking for answers. Some people are looking for new questions. You can call it a purpose. You can call it a goal, a meaning, a principle. It doesn't matter what you call it. What is it? More importantly, have you found it? Dr. Peter Gray, a Boston College psychology professor and researcher, talks about it in terms of behavioral activation systems. He has a theory that we, especially children, sort of bounce between discovery mode and defense mode. Dr. Gray focuses on child behavior and growth, specifically in learning and in play. He believes nowadays that kids, younger kids, are spending, especially on social media, spending entirely too much part of their life in what we would call defensive mode, and not nearly enough of their time in discovery mode. Discovery mode is, by the way, what we used to call go outside and play. Andrew and John are in discovery mode. They are free playing it, so to speak. And what's truly fascinating about this text is that these are the first public words that Jesus gives to a crowd. Now, granted, it's a crowd of two. But these are Jesus' first public words recorded to us, given to us through John the Apostle. Up until this point, Jesus hasn't said anything to anybody save John the Baptist, and the Apostle John doesn't tell us what that is. This is Jesus' first public proclamation of his mission. What are you looking for? What should we use to determine and define our existence? When life's really getting bad, right? When life comes around and plops itself right square down in the middle of your head with great force, and things get tough, when discovery turns to defense, when darkness and despair creep up upon you, marriages erode, and jobs fail, and people die, and life seems to be getting just too hard to go on, and you look around at everything that you have and everything that you're doing and everything that you've done and think forward about more of the things that you may or may not do, and you wonder, why bother? I mean, what's the point of all of this? You mutter to yourself, why do I even care? You think to yourself, maybe I should just stay here in my bedroom in the dark, lay here in bed and mildew. Is there any meaning? Do I have any real hope? Billions of people throughout the world have asked this very same question, and still they get out of bed every day, act like nothing's wrong. Even in the midst of existential crisis, a lot of them, they'll still just... they'll get up and get a shower and go to work to provide for themselves and their families. And they could all probably give you some semblance of a reason. For some people, it's duty. Other people, responsibility. It could be need or self-preservation. Or like the grand old wise man said in the 80s on the bumper sticker, I owe, so it's off to work I go. Because I don't have a choice. I can't sit in my bed and mildew all day long. They'll come and take my house and my bed. Some people, it's just good old-fashioned habit. Every person on the earth has a purpose. What's yours? Jesus asked John and Andrew what their purpose is. What are you seeking? What are you about? What is your principle? And they don't have an answer. The only thing they can do is ask a question of their own. Where are you staying? And with that, Jesus gives this gospel opening salvo. Come and see. You know, rarely is life really easy. I think the older I get, the more confusing the questions get. When I was younger, I didn't worry about questions. Big questions, who cares? Where are you going to live? I don't know. What are you going to do? I don't know. How are you going to get everything done? I don't know. And then I got a wife. And the questions got really easier after that, I tell you. Please don't tell her I said that. Today for children, questions are coming faster and faster, and they are more difficult than they have ever been before. Today Jesus provides us one of the greatest questions of all time. What are you seeking? And then we see that we really don't have an answer, not all the time. And so he gives us this answer. He gives us this incredible answer. Come and see. To a world of brokenhearted, to a world of lost and depressed and anxious and lacking of joy and hatred and anger, Jesus says, just come and see. Taste and see the Lord is good. Come and see what I've become for you. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And sometimes we're talking about the big sins. You know, Lutherans, we don't separate the venial sins and the mortal sins. We don't do any of that. We're like, a sin is a sin. But even though we don't officially separate them, there's some big ones. You know, like the lying and the cheating and the stealing and the murdering and the hatred. But Jesus comes to forgive those little ones as well. And sometimes we don't give our Lord enough credit for the removal of those sins, because sometimes we prefer to think of those sins as like mistakes. They're just baubles. And we all have them. We generally don't think, we try not to make too big of a deal out of them, but big or small, and depression and sloth. Sloth's a favorite one of mine. The phone rings, it's on the other side of the room, and I'm like, not today, phone. Not today. And then later on, you read the voicemail, and you're like, oh, I should have answered that. It was all the way over there. Faulty thinking, unstable emotional responses, inappropriate behavior, not doing what you know you ought to do when you know you ought to do it, and going, it'll hold, it'll wait. Wearing the wrong shoes. Right? Being all excited about a new pair of Adidas that you've really decided to want, and then you wear them to school, and you find out everybody's gone back to Reeboks, and you're stuck with these stupid-looking Adidas. Maybe not a sin, but sure doesn't feel good. Tripping over the curb and having to explain why you got a black eye. No, it was a curb, I promise. Mentioning in the sermon that Trinidad is just off the coast of Africa when everybody knows it's off the coast of South America. You say that in a sermon and 12 people come to you and go, Pastor, you know that Trinidad Tobago is off the coast of South America. Well, yeah, I know that. I'm glad everybody else knows it too. I haven't even got over it yet, apparently. And most of you probably don't even remember it at all. It's still back there in the back of my head, Trinidad and Tobago. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And Paul knows this Lamb. And he starts his letter out. We're going to be working through Corinthians. He starts this letter out to the Corinthians in the strongest of possible terms that I can think of. I am Paul. I am called by God. Called to be an apostle. Called with a message and sent unto the world with this great message for a fallen and a hurting world to give witness to that which I know to be absolutely true. Just like the witness of John the Baptist. I know without a doubt, I know in sure conviction, I know what it is to know God, and I know what it is to be known by God. Our names are written in that great book of life. And if that wasn't enough, Paul then goes on to tell the Corinthians who they are. And who we are, for that matter. For we are the church, the assembled children of the Lord God Almighty, the assembled people of God, called to be holy, called to be sanctified in Christ, called to be saints in this fallen and dark world, called to be salt and light, called to be different, called to be set aside, called out of the world that we might know the Lamb of God. That we too might be able to point and say, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Christ asks, what are you seeking? What are you looking for? With the salvation of our Lord God assured through the death of the Lamb, what is there to look for? I can think of two things that we're still looking for. Number one, we're looking for the coming of the Lord God in the cloud and the power of the sky with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Outstretched. Outreached. Never mind. Covered. We're also looking for those whom God has placed in our path. Those who mutter in the darkness and cry, can this be all? Have I missed something? There's got to be more to this life than what I've seen. What I've seen is not that great. To which God has given you your response. Look to the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Come and see. Come and see for yourself. I know him. He knows me. I know where he stays. I even know what he eats. I know how he works. Let me come and introduce you to him. For he has called me to be his. And I am. And maybe he's calling you to be his as well. Come and see. Come and join the fellowship of the living God. Come and eat at the table of the Lord God Almighty, who he himself is also the supper, who takes away the sins of the world, strengthens our faith for the coming days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.